Hello and welcome to Wilton Baptist Church. Today some of us are meeting in person at different communities, whilst others are meeting here on YouTube. The great thing is that even though we aren't all in one physical place, we're able to occupy the same space and time together. Let's really enjoy worshipping God and digging into God's word together. Our prayer is that you meet God in a powerful way today. Let's worship.
Jesus, light of the world, hope in the darkness. Let's pray. Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you today. I pray that we will hear your message about Jesus, light of the world, hope in the darkness, and that nothing will get in the way of us hearing from you today. Amen. So we're thinking about light, and there's all sorts of different sources of light, the sun, the reflected light of the moon, the amazing different array of lights we have around our homes and outside. We use so many different sources of light. Today we're going to be using candles. We're going to be thinking about Jesus, light of the world, and using candlelight to just help us to focus on him and to think a little bit more about how this Christmas time, this Advent, we can be challenged to be the light of the world to others. What a difference light makes. Just have a think about a dark morning, a dark room, a dark time, and then light coming. What a difference it makes. Jesus is the one true light. This is a different kind of light, a spiritual light we're talking about. A light which lasts forever and changes everything. And relationship with Jesus brings hope and brings eternal life. Jesus' light is a different kind of light than these candles that we're using today to think about him and his light. His light is one that has come when he was first born, a baby at Christmas time. He was fulfilling the prophecy we hear about in the Old Testament, which we're going to read now. And he fulfilled that prophecy and that hope. In the darkness of the world came Jesus, light of the world, to bring salvation and hope to people forever. So the verse we're going to read is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6 to 7. And this just reminds us of who he is. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We're called to shine, to not hold on to the truth of this light that we think about at Christmas time, this light that Jesus is, that had been hoped for, and who has now come into the world and brought about light for every darkness we can think of. His light shines into every situation. And yet, we're part of that. We're called to be the light. And today, as we think about that challenge and think about our part in the story of how the light of the world makes a difference in the darkness. We're going to have 5 points using the word shine. So when we think about shine, we're called to shine the light of Jesus into the world to make a difference for those around us. And each of these 5 points will hopefully give us something to think about to help us to do that and to challenge us to do that. So we first think of the S of shine, and we think about the word see. See the darkness. See the difference. We need to ask God to show us the darkness that he wants us to shine into, to open our eyes and ears to see the needs, the loss, the difficulty, to recognize the needs of the world, that his light, Jesus, light of the world, his hope, are there to meet. What situations do you know of? What people do you know are in darkness and need that touch of Jesus' light in their life? And what is your part in it? That's what we're thinking. So when we ask God to open our eyes and ears to see the darkness, we're not only thinking of problems and challenges that people face that we might have a part in changing through prayer, through action, through giving somebody a listening ear, through all the different ways that we can be Jesus for someone, we can bring his light into their situation. We're not only thinking of problems, we're also recognizing, when we ask God to show us, to see the darkness, we're also recognizing that darkness is the absence of light. And there are so many around us who we might ask God to show us are missing something, and yet they may not know it. They may seem to have whatever they need. They may be very comfortable in and have full lives. People have such wonderful lives. There's such wonderful aspects of life, and somebody you know might be without needs, and yet they're in darkness because they haven't yet recognize their need of Jesus. They haven't maybe heard about Jesus. They don't know what they're missing. So when we ask God to see the darkness, we're saying, show me. Show me who I need to talk to today. Where is there a need of you that I can take a part in bringing your light to a situation? So we're asking God to open our eyes and ears. We're saying, see the darkness. God, show us how to be you to those around us. But we're also saying, God, help me to see the difference. So not only seeing where there is a need, but to see the difference that Jesus makes, to see the difference he's made in us, to reflect on what a difference there's been with us coming to know him. To ask ourselves, what difference does Jesus make to me? What difference does Jesus make in me, in my life, that others can see? To ask what difference it'll make when Jesus, light of the world, is brought into our home, is brought into our school, our family, our friendships. When we go shopping, what difference does it make that Jesus, light of the world, is in us? What about when we're running late or when we're struggling with things? Maybe when we're tired or when someone dies. What difference does Jesus, light of the world, make? And what difference will it make if we invite Jesus, light of the world, into our social life, into our work life, into our Instagram feed, into every conversation? What if Jesus, light of the world, we invite into our conversations with our neighbour, into a situation when they're short of money or have needs or they're sick? What difference will it make when we invite Jesus, light of the world, into our times of plenty, our times when everything's fine and we're doing really well. What difference does it make? So we're asking him to help us see the darkness and see the difference Jesus, light of the world, will make. The second letter of shine is H, and this is where we think about he is the light. We've got a verse from John chapter 8 verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What a promise, what a hope. He is the center of everything we understand about this light. He is the source of light. And his love and life make a difference to those around us when we know him. His light goes with us into the darkness. Just like when we light one candle from another, his light is in us. The third point is the eye of shine. I am necessary. I want you to say that with me. I am necessary. And in the verse, we hear a little bit more about why. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, Jesus, light of the world, is in you, and you are the light of the world. That light, as we think about a light from one candle to another, is now yours, and you light the space around you, the people around you, as you bring Jesus' light to others. When we allow his light to shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify Father in heaven. God is glorified when we allow his light to shine through us. So I am necessary. Maybe take some time to reflect on that later. The fourth letter of shine is N. And when we think about N, it's a little bit like the I. N for no one is excluded. And the reason there's another point very like the previous one, I am necessary to shine this light. No one is excluded. I think we need to hear this. We need to know that we are needed, we are necessary, and no one is excluded. So the first part of those verses, again, says, you are the light of the world. So I want us to just think about candles and think about the fact that there are so many different kinds of candle. Candles of all sorts, shapes and sizes, in all kind of states of repair. They may be very well used, they may be brand new, they may be very beautifully decorated, or they might be very simple. When you think about a candle, there's just so many differences. So this is where we're thinking that sometimes we have given reasons to exclude ourselves from this call to be the light of the world, to discount our effect. We've put our light sometimes under a bowl, as it says in that verse. Maybe have a think about some of the reasons why we might do this. Maybe we've said we are too small or too large, too young or too old. Perhaps we're a new Christian and we don't feel we can be a light for others just yet. Maybe we feel burned out, damaged. Perhaps we've been told things about ourselves that have stopped us in our tracks. Perhaps we feel that there's something temporarily stopping us from being the light of the world. Perhaps that's COVID, and we've felt that we can't do the things we usually do to be the light of the world to others. Perhaps we've tried before and we've found it difficult or been rejected when we've brought something of Jesus to another. Perhaps we ourselves are bound up in sin, something that's stopping us, that's strangling us and stopping us from being the light of the world that we're called to be. Perhaps we feel that people won't listen, they won't respond. Or maybe we've compared ourselves to others. Maybe we think we've got no light to shine. Well, think again. All these candles differ. They're all completely different. But the flame, the light, is the same. We're united, we're lit up by the same Jesus, the one true light of the world. There's no difference in that regard because we have the same light in us and you are the light of the world. Yes, we're different and these things are very real for us, these struggles and these barriers to us being who we're called to be. And God is a loving God and we're part of a loving family in the church, and we know we can continue to receive from him and continue to be changed by him, and that's never going to stop. We're always going to have things that need changing, that need his loving touch, that need his healing. We're always going to need to keep coming back to him, but we don't need to wait for any of that to be completed. That's the work of a lifetime and it's going to continue in eternity. Now's the time to be the light of the world we're called to be. From the moment we receive the light, we need to share it. We need to shine. We might be different. We might have challenges. There might be things in the way. But the light we carry into the world is the same light. And that's no different. You are the light of the world. So point five is the word exhort. What does that mean? Well, it's a word we do find in the Bible, and an exhortation is a challenge. It's about inciting others, telling another to go for it, a call to action. It's a bit of a lost word, and I want us to find it again, maybe to take some time to dwell on it and what it means for you. Who are you with? Who are you alongside? Who's alongside you? We need to help one another if we're going to be this light of the world. Who needs exhortation? Who can you exhort to do good things for God, to be the light of the world? When we meet, let's start exhorting one another to be the light of the world. Chat about it, pray, share scripture, listen to one another, and then let's do it. Let's bring our candles together. You can see that when there are these lights that come together, the light is brighter. Let's exhort one another to do these good works, to think of things that we can do to bring the light of the world to others. And let's not stop at encouraging, that's good, but let's exhort one another. So to sum up, we need to see the darkness, ask him to help us see the difference that Jesus, light of the world, would make. To know for ourselves that he is the light of the world, but know that we can't keep that light hidden. It's for sharing. And know that you are the light of the world. So how? Well, this talk isn't going to give an exhaustive list of the different ways that you might touch another's life and reach out to those near and far to make a difference. But here's a few examples. I've had some things happen in the last couple of weeks that testify to people being the light of the world and reaching out. This beautiful book was hanging on a door handle on my house. So someone heard that I loved the idea of this book but didn't have a copy and went out and bought it for me. They listened and they cared. Another example is someone who heard that I had some goals to drink some more water And they bought me a water bottle with lovely messages of encouragement on it. What a lovely thing to do for someone. And both those examples have cost them. Those have cost them dear, and they've taken action. There are things we can do that don't cost us anything. I also had a message the last couple of weeks, and that message spoke to me prophetically, something from God that actually has impacted this talk today. And that's where a friend just listened to God and heard something for me and passed it on in a message which didn't cost her anything but mattered a lot to me. So those are a few examples, but we've got lots more really practical ways that we can love our neighbour. So if you haven't had a copy of this, then just get in touch with the church through the email, and you can get some of these ideas for maybe how to love your neighbours. Some really practical ways that we can be the light of the world. The more candles, the more light. Let's do this together. And if you're watching and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, maybe you've got some questions. These questions are precious. You're welcome and you're important. Those of us who know and love Jesus as Lord and follow him would love to talk. We're human and we do not have all the answers, but we do know the light of the world, Jesus, and would love to introduce you to him. Let's pray. Jesus, light of the world. Lord Jesus, take our lives and light us up again for you. Show us the darkness, Holy Spirit. Give us the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, and more. Help us to notice people and situations in need of your light. Help us see the small and big things, little things we can do for our neighbour, to the needs of our world. Help us to commit time to listening to you, reading your word, learning from your life on earth. Jesus, help us to live out your word, living lives of sacrifice. Prepare us to take actions beyond what we're comfortable with, to bring your light to dark situations, to bring light to people we meet. This Christmas, show us practical ways we can make a difference. Let us exhort one another to do this. Christ Jesus, light a flame in me and send me out this Christmas. Thank you for being the light of the world and transforming my life. Now, light of the world, may I be the light of the world you've called me to be. And may I exhort others to do the same. In Jesus' name, Amen.